Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Hello, good evening and welcome. Just after 6 o'clock for the next 60 minutes, we're making money make sense. How to earn more, grow faster and stay ahead in a world that never stands still. So whether you're plotting your next big move, tackling financial curveballs or just looking for smarter ways to build your wealth, we've got expert insights and bold strategies to help you take control. So first today in a snapshot, the Rand is a little weaker ahead of the State of the Nation address tonight. The JSE tracking higher in afternoon trade. Bullion is weaker and Anglo American Platinum says its profit last year fell by as much as 52%. Coming up on the program, the broader geopolitical implications of reduced US aid funding. The yawning gap between SONA promises and reality for small businesses. Minimum wage amendments kick in on the 1st of March. How bringing fast, affordable internet to township homes can boost the entire economy. And more pain for ArcelorMittal South Africa as it posts a 5 billion rand loss. That's all to come. Let's start the show.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
From tariff wars to trade threats, Donald Trump's economic policies are sending ripples across global markets. And for us in South Africa, his America First stance raises real concern, particularly around AGOA, investment confidence, and even funding for critical programs like PEPFAR. But my question tonight is, are these fears justified? And are there opportunities maybe in this uncertain landscape? With me now is Sanisha Pakrasamy, who's chief economist at Momentum Investments. Sanisha, good evening to you and welcome. So Trump's tariffs and trade policies, are you seeing the risk of a full-blown global trade war, or are people maybe over-amplifying this slightly?
Thanks so much for having me, Jeremy. You know, I think we need to take a little bit of a step back because, you know, the people that are operating in markets today got very used to a world with liberalized free market policies. And that's obviously what induced a whole period of globalization. We saw emerging markets thriving off that. But if you had to take a chart on tariffs and date it all the way back to the 1800s, you will see that the period that we've been in for the past 30 or so years has actually been the anomalous period. And back in the day, you know, tariffs that were much higher than where they are now were actually more the order of the day. And I think that going into this Trump regime, we finally have a leader that is speaking to the effects of higher tariffs, something that was commonplace, you know, more than 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I think this is becoming quite a contention point in markets right now.
And that's the real problem, isn't it? It's not necessarily the actual applicability, but more the rhetoric and the impact on investor confidence.
100%. And, you know, I think generally, if you look at the gains that we've accrued from globalization, emerging markets, including South Africa, have been big beneficiaries. And if you look at bodies like the multilateral institutions, which are embedded in those values of free market policies, like the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or what we know as the OECD, or even the World Trade Organization, they've often calculated that when trade costs and trade barriers fall, we have quite a significant boost to things like real GDP growth. We see that inflation falls. We find that low-income economies can actually play catch-up to the richer markets in the world. And I think that's really, you know, the underlying element here that, you know, tariff threats do in fact matter, particularly for these emerging market economies. And in a world where we have a number of centrist governments being voted out, we find that far left-winged and far right-winged politicians are re-looking at things like nationalistic approaches, a higher element of protectionism. And in that kind of world, it does suggest that we are going to be living in a higher inflationary world, and in some cases, even a lower growth environment globally.
As far as South Africa's response to all of this is concerned, it seems to me that we might be floundering, that we don't have a clear response to this bullying that is seemingly coming from the United States of America. Do we need to be more pronounced? Do we need to be more emphatic?
If we look at what has happened with some of the other countries, and let's take Colombia as an example, you know, they didn't want to take any of their prisoners back. And, you know, there were a couple of jokes circulating where Trump was between, you know, the second and seventh hole of the golf course before the issue got resolved. And they did, in fact, take the prisoners back on their own military aircraft. And I think, you know, this is speaking to the point that Trump is going quite boldly and making very bold statements to a number of countries. And we're finding that these countries are quickly backtracking in order to renegotiate their stance with the United States. In the case of South Africa, we export about 7% of our total exports go to the U.S. It's quite similar to what we export to Germany, but less than what we export to China, which is at 11.5%. It does mean that the U.S. is a significant player in terms of determining our export values and what we can accrue for GDP growth. And in that light, I think that the president's response was actually quite good in terms of taking that information, packaging a response that still allows us to negotiate with the United States and doesn't put us in poor favor with them. And I think we're going to see a lot of that going forward, not only with the likes of smaller emerging market players, but even with the likes of Europe as an example, where, you know, the United States might also want to negotiate in terms of trying to send over gas exports and, you know, trying to lower tariffs with Europe in terms of how they negotiate their trade structure. So I think this is really part of a bigger picture where Trump tends to go quite hard at the negotiations initially to try and get countries to align with their own views. And further down the line, we find that negotiations happen at a table where both parties then can put their views forward.
Let me circle back to that 7%, if I can. How absolutely critical is AGOA to this country's economy? And how bad would it be if we lost those trade benefits?
Look, Jeremy, I don't think it'll be completely devastating for our trade. A portion of what we export to the U.S. falls under the favorable tariff arrangements under the African Growth and Opportunities Act. And if we do lose that, I think it'll have more of a micro impact. So there are certain industries that it would devastate, such as the citrus farmers in the Western Cape and to some extent the motor vehicle industry. But by and large, we still export a number of goods that do not fall under the AGOA tariff arrangement, and that trade will continue to flow. Overall, if you had to look at our total exports, it would account for somewhere between 1 and 2% of our total exports.
Given the potential, not even potential, given the standoff at the moment that exists between Pretoria and Washington, it also becomes crucial, does it not, for us to get off the Financial Action Task Force grey list as soon as possible. The moment that happens, the investment landscape is perhaps a little more benign.
100%. So I think, you know, if we look at how factors are shaping up for South Africa, I'd make the argument that we are probably going to have less political instability in South Africa this year relative to last. You know, at this time last year, we still weren't sure what form of government would be in charge of South Africa. And now we've got, you know, quite a good outcome of a government of national unity where there is an increased element of governance in there and far more negotiation on policies than what there has been in the past. Secondly, we've seen that the formation of the GNU has instilled a higher level of business confidence in South Africa, consumer confidence, and investor confidence, not only within our own borders, but also from internationals looking at South Africa as an investment destination. I think that the International Monetary Fund, you know, also had their own stamp of approval on South Africa late in last year when they came to do their Article 4 consultation with South Africa. And they mentioned that they were quite happy with a number of the structural reforms that were underway here. Standard & Poor's rating agency also took that same line of thinking. And in November of 2024, they came out with a statement and they actually shifted the outlook of our rating from neutral to positive. And I think that, you know, a couple of these positive factors are coming in line, suggesting that reforms in critical areas such as energy, logistics, and water are underway. And that does provide a better outlook for the medium-term growth number. On inflation, we've seen, you know, the October, November prints, you know, have come in quite substantially. We're not really facing major inflation risks. And I think that's quite a positive for the monetary policy stance in SA. So there are a couple of positive factors, despite the global turbulence that's playing out, that locally are looking a lot better than where we were last year.
Thank you very much indeed, Sanisha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist at Momentum Investments. Appreciate your time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.